If we look now at verse 2, it says this: like newborn babies, you must crave pure spiritual milk so that you will grow into a full experience of salvation. Cry out for this nourishment now that you have the taste of the Lord's kindness. And I'm going into verse 3 there. And I decided that what I would do is do a 6-part series on solids, milk to solids. And that's what we're doing. And these are the 6 steps, I believe, that are necessary for us to go from spiritual milk to solid nourishment. The first part was repentance of acts that lead to death. Part 2 was faith in God. Part 3, instruction about baptisms. Yesterday, we looked at part 4, which was laying on of hands. Now, all of those different parts, beloved, you can still get on the podcast. That is not a problem. And if you want to check out the podcast, you can do that. You go to www.worshipradio247.podbean.com. www.worshipradio247.podbean.com. And you'll find all of the podcasts there. They're actually, in fairness, not podcasts per se, because you can't download them, but you can listen to them on that site. And the reason that you can't download them is because we would have a license issue, because there is a little bit of music that goes before and after. And therefore, we would be breaching our regulation on licenses. We have a license here to play music, but we would breach the licenses if we were to do that. So today we're looking at part 5, the resurrection from the dead. The resurrection from the dead. I could lay this down for you really simply. Incredibly simply. Just to say this to you. Believe in the Lord Jesus. Ask the Lord Jesus into your heart. Ask him to make you brand new. You then become born again. And when you do that, when you die, if Jesus is in your heart, you go to heaven. That's it. How would you speak to a child and tell a child about heaven? You would say that when you die, you go to be with Jesus. You go to be with God in heaven. That's in essence what happens. But beloved, there's a little bit more to it than that. And I want to look real quick at 1 Corinthians. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. Now, this is a long chapter, okay, but I'm going to dip in and out of this. Let me remind you, dear brothers and sisters, of the good news I preached to you before. You welcomed it then, and you still stand firm in it now. So what Paul is saying to the Corinthian church is, look, I preached to you before, I've told you the good news. This is the good news that saves you, if you continue to believe the message I told you. Unless, of course, you believe something that was never true in the first place. I passed on to you what was most important, and what was also passed on to me. Christ died for our sins, just as the scriptures said. Now, he goes on to talk about that, and he goes on to reiterate to the Corinthian church, look, you're making mistakes. You've got to get this right. He goes on to say that when Jesus died, he was seen by Peter and then the 12. And after that, in verse 6, he was seen by more than 500 of his followers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Then he was seen by James and later all of the apostles. Last of all, watch this. As though I had been born at the wrong time, I also saw him. For I am the least of all the apostles, says Paul. In fact, I'm not even worthy to be called an apostle after the way I persecuted God's church. But whatever I am now, it's all because God poured out his special favor on me, and not without results, for I have worked harder than any of the other apostles. Yet I was not, it was not I, but God, who was working through me by his grace. And he goes on to explain that even more. But tell me this, since we preach that Christ rose from the dead, why are some of you saying that there will be no resurrection of the dead? And this is why Paul now goes into this. He goes into it in detail because, you see, let me try and give you a brief synopsis of what happened. He goes to the Corinthian church and he preaches to the Corinthian church and he leaves. And then he hears that there's all sorts of wrongdoing, all sorts of sexual immorality, all sorts of weird practices going on in this church. And so he sends them a letter. 1 Corinthians certainly is a letter that was sent to the Corinthian church to correct them. Here's another correction right here. Why are some of you saying there will be no resurrection of the dead? Verse 13. For if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, then all our preaching is useless and your faith is useless. And we apostles would all be lying about God. For we have said that God raised Christ from the grave. But that can't be true if there's no resurrection from the dead. And if there's no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is useless and you are still guilty of your sins. In that case, all who have died believing in Christ are lost. And if our hope in Christ is only for this life, we are more to be pitied than anyone in this world. But in fact, verse 20, Christ has been raised from the dead. He is the first of a great harvest of all who have died. So you see, just as death came into the world through a man, now the resurrection from the dead has begun through another man. Just as everyone dies because we all belong to Adam, everyone who belongs to Christ will be given new life. There it is, right there. You see, when we die, we will be given new life. Now, this is where it gets a little bit complicated. And I've got to tell you, beloved, it's complicated for me as well. Because you see, if you imagine Jesus on the cross with the two thieves, one left and one right, one of them says to him, when you go to your paradise, remember me. And that's paraphrased. Jesus says to him, I tell you the truth, or verily, verily, I say unto you, I tell you the truth, says Jesus, today you will be with me in paradise. So therefore, what Jesus was saying right there was that as that man died next to Christ, that that very day he would be raised to God, raised to Christ. He would be in glory. Yet if we look at what Paul is saying here, Paul is saying that when Christ comes back, all the dead will be raised. But you see, that is doctrine again. And as far as I'm concerned, I don't care. It doesn't matter. It matters not a jot. What matters is, beloved, is that when you pass from this world to the next, where are you going to go? If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you believe in his resurrection, if you believe that you have been saved through Christ because of what he did at Calvary 2,000 years ago, if you believe that, then know this. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You are going to be resurrected with Christ. You are going to live in glory, as will I. That is the fact. And let me show you why, to me, it really doesn't matter. When I go to sleep at night, most of the time I don't dream. I wake up in the morning and I have no recollection of what happened the night before. I have no recollection of time or space. Because when I fell asleep last night and then I woke up this morning, it seemed like 2 minutes. Often it seems like 2 minutes. Simply because I wake up and think, oh, I could do with a bit more. Do you see where I'm going with this, beloved? I'm trying to say that there is no spectrum of time when I go to sleep at night and I wake up in the morning. I can't say, well, I've been asleep for hours and hours and hours. It doesn't feel like that at all. So for me, if I go to sleep tonight and I wake up in glory and 100 years has passed, it doesn't matter to me at all. Do you see what I'm trying to say? Because I have no sense of time when I go to sleep. When I wake, it could be whenever. I once saw a movie where a guy went to sleep and he woke up 100 years later and everything was different. He had no sense of timing. He didn't feel as though he'd been asleep for 100 years, and that's the point I'm trying to make. So there are two different doctrines that say when you go to sleep, when you die, when you pass from this life to the next, you go to glory straight away. There's another doctrine that says you wait until Christ comes back. But what I'm trying to say, beloved, is it doesn't matter. What matters is that you believe that you are going to be resurrected from the dead and that you are going to live in glory with Christ forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. That, to me, is vital. And if you want to know more about this, then just turn to 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, and study the entire chapter. It would be very good for you. And you can make your own mind up. But I just need you to know that the resurrection from the dead is going to happen. And you are going to be raised incorruptible with the Lord on that last day. I just want you to worship now. This is Chris Tomlin and God of Wonders, and be blessed in Jesus' mighty name.